six exhibits.
You make kind of a motion to add the 1 through 6 exhibits that we received after the packet was put together.
Second.
First, I need a motion. I can't make a motion. I need a motion. So you can make it.
I need to accept
exhibits.
Exhibits.
Mm-hmm.
Just mentioned.
Okay. And call for a second.
Second.
First, that motion's been made and seconded. I was afraid to ask for any additional comments, but
good at it.
At this time, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
So to summarize my application again, I was recommending approval and continue to recommend approval. With Dan's help, we've addressed a few issues if they come up tonight, but I think it might be most expeditious to allow the applicant, and then if you have questions about what they present or the opponent. And in this instance, so we have to think about this. So who goes first, the applicant or the person who requested the hearing? I think it's the applicant, right, Dan?
I would say the applicant goes first. The applicant has the burden of proof, so the applicant goes first, and then the applicant gets final rebuttal at the end.
Okay.
Alrighty, so at this time, I invite the applicant proponent to present testimony and evidence.
We haven't had one of these in a while. I had to think about it.
Good evening, members of the commission, staff, and on the very small screen in the back. I'm Sarah Stauffer Curtis. I'm a land use lawyer with Still Reeves Law Firm. Address is 760 Southwest 9th Avenue in Portland, Oregon. And with me,
I'm Miff Devin, MIFF DEVIN. I'm the operation manager at the Ford Morrow. Bureau Box 200, Portland, Oregon, 17818.
So we're not talking about trucks tonight. We are going to be talking about water, moving on to a bit of a different topic. Our plan for the applicant's presentation tonight is to not go into some of the details that Tamara already covered, but to try to provide you a bit of information and context for what the port is doing with this land use application, which really, as Tamara noted, is go forward and get final approval from the Department of Environmental Quality. In 1 second, I'm going to have Miff give an overview of what's going on here and explain exactly, you know, why the port is, doing this project and, you know, where the water will be applied. But I did want to give a brief update that as of earlier this week, DEQ actually issued the permit modification that is the subject of this application. We have copies of that permit, so it's a permit that has been modified. So we have basically the main permit and the modifications that we'll submit here into the record. This is hot off the press, but I think it's important for us to set the stage that that permit was issued, and it was issued subject to the county's approval of the land use compatibility statement. So what that means is that we have the underlying approval that we're seeking from DEQ for this permit modification, and what remains is for the county to give its sign-off that this use is compatible with the land use program in the county. We can provide the copies of that, and we'll do so here. We also have some maps that Miff is going to walk you through to explain the project and what's going on here. But I wanted to set the stage with the fact that this is a little bit unusual because we're actually asking for sign-off on a LUX
after the
permit
fact
that has been issued provisionally awaiting the signature from the county that this is consistent with the land use development ordinance. So with that, will you walk folks through the program?
I'll give you all the
paperwork. Is this for
So the first one here would be the all-important maps.
Is this one for everybody?
There is enough for everyone.
Oh, gotcha.
Plus extras, most likely.
I have an extra. I'll just
Yep.
Mr. Martin, too.
So the thicker one is the actual original permit, and there is the modification that we're going to receive here recently. And there's plenty of exit.
So this is the modification permit, and this is the exit permit.
This is the modification. So this is the original permit, and then the modification?
Yes.
The bigger one is the original permit, and the recent modification is the one that has the red line.
Oh, thank you. Do we have to do any of these?
I think they'll want you to enter them into the record, yeah.
When the car gets back. When you add the record, do I really do have to go through all the, make a motion, all?
You don't have to vote on it. It's usually just by consensus.
Could I get a motion to accept these additional information into the record?
Motion to accept additional information into the record.
A second?
Second.
Okay,
Just to clarify.
We'll cut that out next time.
There's a map, modification number 4, and then the original modification number 1. Is that right? Okay.
All right, Ms.
Stephen, kind of showed you a little map there on the small screen. I've read you a full-on map here that shows all the farms within our program, including the farm number 6, which is what we're talking about tonight. And I'll be on the very first page of that. The second page of that packet has our current layout of our operations, kind of a little quick overview of how the Ford Moore operates, and you can see that we take water from the food processors part that goes through the anaerobic digesters to storage and then out to direct irrigation, so the nice little graphic. The current operations and future operations that were just this last year on it just shows the changes that we're proposing to make in the near future, which is just the secondary agreement that goes between the digesters and what goes on the farm applications. Overall operations itself, not to get overly detailed in how we do things, but we send the wastewater that goes out to from the industry, which is primarily food processing wastewater, goes out from an application. We have to monitor that through all the requirements that are within the permit, as well as the leak modification and the new rules that go down on top of that. It's a constantly managed and monitored operation. There's a full-time staff that will go out and monitor, for example, every single circle in the operation, make sure everything's going, which happens twice a day. We're actually bringing on more full-time staff with the addition of these acres, because it's a lot of ground, as you can see in the map, to cover. A lot of drive time, a lot of booster stations, a lot of clusters, a lot of things that may have to go off of that and monitor that. The entire system, as you can see in the current operation, and its very basic layout, I mean, we have monitoring wells that go around the entire property. There is monitoring equipment that happens out there. There's soil probes, for example, that go in every single circle, and that's outlined in the WPCF permit as well. There is lots of crop planning and all kinds of other stuff that happens within our program and operations on a day-to-day basis. Too far into the weeds, but
well, we can pause there if there are any questions about what the proposal is, maybe, and then I want to address a couple of things.
I don't think we have any. The map's pretty. Okay. Seen that map before. So.
Great. I did want to. There was a letter submitted earlier today by Mr. Martin while I was driving over, and I did want to address a couple of the issues that were raised in that. The first one had to do with how the port would be preventing wastewater from escaping the port's properties. So concerns related to nearby canals or neighboring properties. That's something that's addressed specifically in the DEQ permit. The port is allowed to land apply the wastewater only to the sites that are authorized in the DEQ permit. And as Smith described, there are monitoring requirements that require the port to daily go out and monitor all those pipelines in the areas where the water is allowed to be applied. The second issue that I wanted to just touch on briefly related to a concern raised about the use being incompatible with the neighboring dairy. I think that, you know, the first thing to say is that compatibility is really not a standard that's addressed. This is a use permitted outright, and so for the perspective of the county, this is not something that is within the county's purview to review. But I did want to address that because I think that, you know, it is something that is obviously these issues are addressed as part of the DEQ permit. The citation to the regulation OAR 340055012, we believe the reference was to sub 4 FA, if you bear with me. And that provision states that animals used for production of milk must be restricted from direct contact with the recycled water. However, those provisions only apply to recycled human animal waste, so sewage or sanitary wastewater. And as used in that provision, recycled water means treated effluent from a wastewater treatment system. The port's wastewater does not contain sanitary wastewater. And condition A17 of the DEQ permit expressly prohibits the port from accepting that type of wastewater. So I think it's really important just to note that that's not something that would apply here, even though, you know, it's something that would be within DEQ's purview. So I'm going to stop there. I think that there are obviously folks that have, you know, we're going to want to talk to you tonight and would like to reserve time for a rebuttal if there's any other issues that come up during the course of the hearing. Otherwise, we would be happy to take any of your questions.
Okay, thank you. At this time, does anyone on the commissioner staff have questions for the applicant?
I do. I just, in Mr. Martin's letter, he talks about how are you going to make sure it doesn't go on their land? If the DEQ permit says only on the farmland, how do you prevent, like, they put in here the wind and all that, we know this is windy area. So how do you prevent going to neighboring land?
Right. Describe a bit the operational checks that are in place for that type of monitoring.
Certainly. So as it is stands right now, at a minimum, we monitor every single circle, every single day, twice a day. We go around every circle, we look for runoffs, we look for anything, blowing events. We typically don't like end guns or anything else, and it's not allowed to have any kind of runoff. We have to report that as actually a WPCA permit spill report, which goes out to the state and everything else. We have to report a cleanup, how many gallons went outside the circle or anything like that. And that would constitute like anything running down a pivot road in any quantity has to be reported out there after that. We make daily check sheets. There's actually paperwork that has to be done every day where the person went out to the circle, they drove the circle. They have anything at all, like there was nozzles broken on the circle, or if there's any maintenance that happened out of it, or anything in the crops that looked weird, like we can't have standing water or cooling water inside the crop circles either. That's also a violation of the permit. And something we have to know if there's an operational issue of any sort, because I mean, circles break down and they have problems, so we gotta make sure we address them.
So, and you can't really stop the wind from...
Correct. And wind doesn't typically leave our circles, though, because we try not to use any end guns in any of our circles, hardware as it is currently, and in drop tubes, we try to keep as low as profile of the ground. But again, if it leaves the circle, it becomes a runoff issue off of that. So if we have to, we shut down the wind events,
okay.
Or we switch to freshwater applications.
Okay. That was my question.
So that's just surface water, but like ground penetration and the nitrate issue has been a big thing. I noticed you have future operation, you have denitrification filters, but that's not part of this current setup. So how would you prevent contamination of his, like neighboring waters through nitrate seepage into the water table?
So currently the permit's laid out that we're not allowed to have any leaching of any kind of water beyond the 5th foot, and we're very monitored within there, so we have soil probes that go down to 5 feet. We also do soil sampling in addition to that. There are currently one, and a new permit modification, there is one moisture probe per 25 acres, I believe. So a lot of these have 4 to 5 moisture probes that monitor the moisture down there. We're not allowed to have anything past the 5th foot, so there is nothing going to the groundwater without being monitored or caught into that.
Are the ponds that are shown on this last map, are they going to help the odor of the water?
Well, that's a good question. So if you have more surface area, you know, you always get odor off of that, but the odor is actually getting better for the treatment systems that come to it, not necessarily the ponds themselves. So anaerobic digesters and specifically the future side with the secondary treatment would definitely change the odor off of that.
But it doesn't yet?
Not currently.
Any additional questions?
So you can only use it through October 31st, then you have to shut it down till March 1st?
I have a winter, well, with the permit modifications that are currently in there, as of November 1st of 2026, I no longer have a winter application period at all. And yes, I would have to go to pure storage after that, which is what the future operations show, is a much larger storage system to be able to do that. Currently, I'm allowed one more winter, and there's a lot of rules in this permit modification.
Yeah, that's what I was reading.
Yeah, that tell me how I can and cannot operate with inside those parameters.
Thank you. We'll be back with you again. So at this time, invite testimony for opponents. For testimony or evidence.
Nothing in the chat, sir.
Okay, thank you. We have, they're moving up here. They're moving up to the hot seat.
Carla McLean has her hand up.
Okay, Carla, when I have, they're sit, I'll let you know when they're done. Go ahead.
Thank you. My name is Drew Martin. I'm representing Mindrick Land LLC and Mindrick Dairy LLC. With me, seated at the table with me is Pete Mindrick, who is the owner and operator of both those entities and the adjoining property to what you just heard is Farm 6. For the record, my Andrew Martin, A-N-D-R-E-W-M-A-R-T-I-N. My address is 3370 10th Street. Baker City, Oregon, 97814.
And I'm Pete Mendrick, M-E-N-D-E-R-I-N-C-K. Uses the whole alphabet. And I reside in Hermiston, Oregon, P.O. Box 1011.
Thank you.
So, commissioners, you have before you a substantial amount of information from the Port of Morrow explaining their operation, what they intend to do with the property that they just purchased. In addition to that, I'd like to provide you with some background, some information about the Mindrick operation, what it consists of, and why it's so vitally important that we are here tonight and have the opportunity to make this presentation to you, because the viability of the Mindrick dairy operation is at issue here. And that's not an overstatement of the importance of the issue and a request for your careful consideration of the Mindrick operation, in addition to the port's important use as well. And so really what we're talking about here is you have two important issues to bring before you and give careful deliberation to the issues of both parties. The Mindrick Dairy was started in 1999 when Pete and his wife purchased the approximately 320 acres. And you should have before you an Oregon GIS map that shows the tax lot information to give you a perspective of the Mindrick property. And I apologize if better if that was in color, but if you look at it, what's identified as tax lot 1400 on the ArcGIS web map, that's the Mindrick property. And if you look at it, you'll see on the northern edge of that property is the developed ground that is the dairy operations. When the Mendricks purchased that in 1999, there was nothing else out there. I think it was just surrounded by the tree farm at that point in time. It was bare ground, completely undeveloped. The Mendricks started with 25 dairy heifers at that time, and since then they have built this operation themselves. This is a first generation dairy. They've built it to where now it's milking 2,000 head of cows. They just installed a brand new milking parlor 2 years ago. It's a 60 cow rotary milking parlor. Very impressive operation. It was just out there a few weeks ago. Substantial investment, and it wouldn't be an overstatement to say this is a lifetime worth of work that has gone into this. And if any of you are familiar with the state of agriculture, it is no small feat for a family to build an operation of this size from the ground up. I feel like that information, the background about the Mendrick property and operation is important in a general context so that you understand what's going on. But as it relates specifically to the matter that's before the commission today, that information is specifically called for and should have been provided in the application. Our technical position with respect to the status of the application and the decision before the commission is the port did not supply the information that is requested or that is supposed to have been provided with the application form. And I would direct the I'll summarize it. On page 2 of the land use application, there is, and this is a form from Morrill County, so this is a form that the county has come up with itself seeking the information that is relevant, that is important for you all to make a decision here. And at the bottom of page 2, that application specifically requests that the applicant, the Port of Morrill, supply information related to the following. How the proposal will be compatible with surrounding land uses. It also asks how the proposal will protect various things, natural resources, trees, vegetation, and water resources. It also asks whether the applicant believes diking, screening, or other landscaping will be required to protect nearby property. It's our position that the application is deficient in failing to provide you all with that information. This is, in fact, a land use compatibility proceeding, and it is clear from the application form that Morrill County has determined that it is relevant to consider how the surrounding land uses might be impacted by the proposed use. There's no question that the application of industrial water is a permitted use, but that's not the end of the inquiry. The inquiry is, will this, I would contend that the inquiry relevant for you all today is, does the information provided to you by the applicant, A, is it complete? We say it's, we believe it's not. And two, how does that impact the neighboring properties? What the planning staff had before it at the time it wrote the preliminary findings was incomplete information for the proposed findings because there was no information provided. In fact, the port has failed to identify the Mendrick dairy operation in either the DEQ proceeding or this land use proceeding. And so the burden has fallen to the Mendricks to point this out and provide that information. The proposal does not, in fact, contain anything of any substance or, more importantly, anything that would be effective at all in protecting the Mendrick operation. The industrial wastewater is, to say it's incompatible with the dairy operation, is a bit of an understatement. Industrial wastewater has the potential of completely ruining a dairy operation. for in several ways. Actually, the effect is what is in that wastewater is important. And as a practical matter, that nobody knows exactly what's in that wastewater. The Port of Morrow tests for nitrates, but it doesn't test for a lot of other substances that would be catastrophic to the dairy operation if it was detected in the milk or in the dairy herd. Mr. Mendrick can speak, answer questions about the seriousness or the impact, I should say, of the industrial water on the dairy operation. But Christopher Curtis mentioned the administrative regulation OAR 340-055-0012. However, the provision that she pointed out is not the provision that we think is relevant. The provision of that regulation that we think is relevant here is subsection 3, and in particular subsection 3E, the entire subsection 3. And what that rule says is that the industrial wastewater can only be used for irrigation for growing fodder, fiber, seed crops not intended for human ingestion. Well, the whole purpose of the dairy operation is producing milk, which is for human ingestion. And so we have right there a regulation, a legal requirement that provides to you a legal basis for saying this industrial water cannot be part of a dairy operation. If you then look down at subsection E, it discusses setback distances for the application of the wastewater. And it has a setback requirement of 150 feet from the edge of the irrigation site to any water supply sources, and it also recognizes other site-specific setback distances for irrigation necessary to protect public health and the environment as part of this rule. That is to say that in the findings from this body, we at a minimum would request there's some mention, some protection, some method of addressing the fact that there is a very real risk presented to a neighboring land use that's an outright permitted use that operates under a CAFO permit as well. And again, we get to this result by the fact that this is specifically called for in Morrow County's application form. So you have varying levels of legal requirements that apply to the situation. You have state statutes, you have administrative rules, you have the county development code, and we would contend that you also have the requirements that are called for by this application that I think specifically authorize and suggest that it is relevant, that it is appropriate in making this decision that you consider protections to neighboring land uses. If you get back to the sort of the fundamental concepts of how Oregon's land use system came about, it was largely driven by a desire to protect farming operations. It was a desire to protect farm ground in the state of Oregon. And this situation falls sort of right within a sort of basic concept. And Mendrick's position is, look, this proposed use, as currently presented, is a threat to a farming, to a use of neighboring property that is farm use as well. The problems that we're talking about here today, which is the migration, the escape of the port's water from their identified place of use to an unintended location is really at the heart of why we're here. And I think it's important to point out that as the applicant testified, they have monitoring systems in place. But the reality is, it does not appear that the proposal addresses any effective suggestion or information on how they're going to prevent the drift from the sprinklers onto the Mender property. And also, as pointed out in the letter, the CID canal. And so it's one thing to say, well, that shouldn't happen. It's another thing to say, well, are there measures in there? Is there a proposal, some suggestion for the applicant on how to prevent that? The proposal and the information submitted by the applicant at this point is completely lacking of anything addressing that. The request, part of the request from the Mendrix is that the applicant simply provide information and that the proposal address some means of protecting the Mendrix property. One of the things about the dairy operation is if there is a contamination of the dairy operation, the dairy cows, the dairy feed, by the time that is recognized, it will be too late for the Mendrick operation. They will be shut down, the milk will be rejected, the cows will not be, they'll not be marketable, the property will be unusable. It's not a situation that lends itself to sort of reactive, sort of actions. There needs to be proactive measures to prevent that from happening. We're not talking about a situation of shutting down the entire Farm 6 for the Port of Morrow. It's a question of, is it reasonable, is it fair to require the applicant to submit more information, to provide a proposal that recognizes the risk presented to an adjoining landowner? And so that lies at the heart of the request to deny the application, not to deny it for the purpose of preventing the Port of Morrow from land applying water on Farm 6. The purpose is to deny it for the purpose of providing what we think is the information that was required by your own application. And it's also providing some suggestion, some proposal, from the applicant about how to achieve their objective while ensuring that the adjoining property is not destroyed. A lifetime, a livelihood, a lifetime spent building something isn't destroyed by what we think, based on the information, is a fairly likely or probable result, which is that water from the port is going to end up on the Mendrick property, on the Mendrick dairy, unless there is something specific added to the current proposal to prevent that from happening. And if you guys have any questions, and Mr. Mendrick is here, he's the dairyman. I'm the lawyer here to help, so if you have questions specific about the operation. I would point out, you can see from the information in front of you. I do want to mention that on the exhibit that I referenced before, there is a well that is used for the supply of drinking water, potable water on the dairy that is right on the boundary line with Farm 6. So there's the proximity of the irrigation system on Farm 6 to the Mender Dairy is extremely close. And And that's demonstrated in the map and the exhibit, both on, in the applicant's materials and in the material that, that we've submitted.
I was actually going to ask that question, how close. But on your OAR of recycled water, what can you tell me the difference between the classes of water D and C?
No.
No. Sorry.
No.
No, the applicant, I'm sure
the Port of Morrow, yeah, that's not, no, I'm not.
I guess, yeah, because I mean, obviously they're a little different, you know. Tamara, do you know?
I don't. Which, are you looking at big D or little D?
I'm just looking, I just want to know what beneficial class D recycled water versus class C recycled water is.
Don't know the answer to
and
that.
And that's kind of...
And I don't know if this is D or C.
There's different criteria for each one in distance, and so making an informed decision without that...
Well, that, I think that underscores exactly what our objection is to the application to submit. You should have that information. We should all have that information. That's information that should have been supplied by the port, and it can be provided by the port. They are, this is their project, they have the expertise and the knowledge on this, and that's the type of information that should be before all of us here in this public setting, so that you have an opportunity to consider that. And that's, I think that's a perfect demonstration or example of why we think the application should be resubmitted with that type of information.
What would you suggest be added to protect the dairy? You mentioned provisions. What, do you have any examples of things that you would
see? What's in the water? What is in their water? It's industrial. We don't know. They don't test it. I've never seen a test of it. That water, it's my feed. It's my cows, my milk, goes down the drain. 30 years of working, grinding, 12 hours a day, 6 to 7 days a week. Gone, I have no value. I moved from Idaho to Oregon to start a dairy. I might as well go back to Idaho. And another thing, those two pivots that are right to the west of me, when the previous dairy was there, that toxic, whatever we want to call it, they never could put wastewater on those pivots that were next to me.
Hmm. So you're talking these two right here?
Yes, the most eastern pivots.
Are they uphill?
What's that?
Are they uphill from your...
They're uphill, and then they're downhill, and then they pond right before they come on my property.
So I guess I'm just, you mentioned protections, mitigations. Are there mitigations?
It's, I mean, the simplest would be setback requirements where they're just simply not allowed to apply the wastewater. The thing that's difficult in that, Commissioner, is...